The French workers are protesting. Now, I don't think it qualifies as a riot, but they're definitely protesting in Paris and other cities. The problem is the French have gone through five prime ministers in less than 2 years, and the latest prime minister set a new record. He only lasted for 3 weeks. The United States is on the verge of a war in Venezuela, they're on the verge of a war with Iran, and they're on the verge of a war with Ukraine. But in fact, as we speak, gold is $3,970.70, roughly. Okay.
Right.
We're about to touch $50 silver, and we're about to touch $4,000 gold. So my answer to, are they going to accelerate from there?
They
Is
certainly could, maybe. Yeah.
maybe. It could happen, but that would indicate an irrational market. And if the market sniffs out World War III, there's no limit to how high it will go.
Bob Moriarty, good morning to you, or good afternoon to you. How are you?
Not very good.
Not very good. You mentioned off camera to all my viewers and listeners, we were talking literally for about a minute, and I just said we got to record because we're already going at it with some really good stuff. So let's talk really what's going on in Europe, specifically with France. What's happening?
The French workers are protesting. Now, I don't think it qualifies as a riot, but they're definitely protesting in Paris and other cities. The problem is the French have gone through five prime ministers in less than 2 years, and the latest prime minister set a new record. He only lasted for 3 weeks. And the issue is they can't balance the budget. So I'm absolutely adamant. I sent you the last three pages of something that I wrote in a book in 2016. And the problem is very simple. Governments around the world are spending money that they don't have. So it was really interesting to me to see the French workers protesting because they're saying, whatever you do, you can't take our benefits, which, of course, is exactly what the problem is.
Yeah, there's exactly that. And it's also starting to trickle over into, I don't want to say trickle, it's full force into the UK as well as Germany. I was reading that Germany just put out a 500 billion, I think, I want to say it's 500 billion debt package, or it was a package, a loan, if you would, to stimulate their economy to get out of recession. So Keynesian economics at its best, I guess.
No, worse than that. Donald Trump is talking about $1,000 or $2,000 stimulus checks to all Americans. And I'm going, wait a minute. This guy was elected to lower government spending. He's got the highest defense budget in history. We got three wars pending, all of which have to be paid for. So he wants to hand $1,000 or $2,000 checks. We have talked many times that I predicted something bad was going to happen in October. And when the President of the United States starts talking about handing out stimulus checks, somebody knows something bad is happening with the economy. And I'm dumbfounded. There are riots going on in Madagascar. There's riots going on in Nepal. There's riots going on in Morocco. There's riots going on in Indonesia. You had 10 AfD candidates die in Germany in a 6-week period. The UK arrested 300 senior citizens over the weekend for holding placards saying they were against the genocide in Gaza. And the UK is bankrupt, France is bankrupt, Germany's bankrupt. And none of these guys see they are the problem. And of course, the United States, same thing is true. We are spending beyond our means, and we're about to pay for it in a really big way.
Yeah, no, we are. And it's been like that. Everybody's spending upon their means. I guess what's most interesting to me is like what's next. And it looks like the world is changing drastically. And I want to get your thoughts on that. How is it changing and really what's going to be on the other side? We're going to go through something tough. I don't know exactly what we're going to be going through, or we are going through something tough. But yeah, work me through going through all that and then what it looks like on the other side for both for the world, really, but also Europe, specifically in the US here.
Well, it's something that I've discussed many times. We're going through the greatest shift of economic power in the last 500 years.
Yeah.
And I sent you a link that came from Moon of Alabama, and it was to a French author named Immanuel Todd. And he's saying the same thing that I've been saying for years. The West is on a collision course. The debt-based system of the West is on a collision course with the resource-based system of the South and the East. They were not getting a fair shake. They know they were not getting a fair shake. And they were saying, okay, screw the US, screw the debt-based system of the West. We don't want any part of it. So this is something. The US created the problem, and the US is going to pay for it. But the empire of debt is collapsing. We can see it. I mean, I am absolutely shocked by the number of mass murders in the US since the Charlie Kirk assassination. But we've got rioting going on throughout the world. The United States is on the verge of a war in Venezuela. They're on the verge of a war with Iran, and they're on the verge of a war with Ukraine. Now, I'll point one thing out. I always like to surprise the people who do interviews. The day before Russia began the conflict in Ukraine, they sent out coded messages on a special frequency. So you had coded messages and an attack against Ukraine. Today, they sent out coded messages. And of course, yesterday, Trump came out and said that he's going to authorize Tomahawk missiles to Ukraine. Russia has made it absolutely crystal clear. That would be a declaration of war. That would be an involvement by the United States in the conflict. And it's the dumbest thing I've ever seen any US president do.
Yeah, so that is going to more than likely escalate as well. And what's beyond me is this escalation, because that war, whatever you think of it, and I am pro peace for all of our viewers and listeners, I want peace. But what's beyond me is that war, the Russia-Ukraine war, is pretty much, it's over. I mean, Russia controls everything. So why would we send more missiles, more arms, more help, if you would, and I use that in quotes, to Ukraine when it's over from a strategic point of view? It makes no sense to me.
Well, strange enough, and that's a really good way of putting it, I have seen convincing arguments that Roosevelt and Churchill had a lot more to do with starting World War II than people acknowledge because of the economic situation of both the UK and the US. Roosevelt was talking as early as 1937 and 1938 that it would take a world war to bring the United States out of the Depression. We had the Depression started in October of 1929. There was a bottom in July of 1932, and the market recovered. And then there was another crash in 1937. So
Right.
Roosevelt certainly indicated that he thought a major conflict was a good thing. And Churchill was a drunk. Okay, he was a magnificent speaker, but he was a drunk and he was a spendthrift. And he was under the thumb of the globalists who controlled him at the time. And they hated Germany because Hitler's response to the Jews, and they wanted a war. Now, everything that we're told about 9/11, everything we were told about Vietnam, everything we were told about the attack on Pearl Harbor, it's all bullshit. And it takes years and years and years to figure it out. But it seems to make sense to me that both the Europe and the United States want a major conflict because they see that as a way of canceling the debts that they simply can't pay. Now, let me point something out that I've never heard anybody else point out. I talk about the Harvard 4-point plan for problem determination and solution. One is what's the apparent problem? Two is what's the real problem? Three is what are all the possible solutions? And four is implement the best one. Now, there's been a lot of talk about revaluing gold through stable coins to write off the debt.
Right.
Let's pretend that happens, and somehow we manage to eliminate $37.5 trillion. Will that make the debt problem go away?
Well, I'm going to entertain you. No.
Of course not. Bingo, you don't have to say anything else. Because while the apparent problem is the debt, even if you wipe the debt out, the overspending
Right.
still exists. So
Right.
yes, you could evaporate the 37.5 trillion overnight, and it wouldn't change anything. In a year or two or three or four, you would be bankrupt again. My solution is so simple that every government in the world would hate it, and that is to go back to honest money. Now, the price of gold, the price of silver, and the price of platinum is predicting something really bad is going to happen very soon. And it's suggesting a war, and the war could be Venezuela, the war could be Iran, the war could be Ukraine. And I'm astonished. I sent you a link to a French writer who has written a book and who's been saying literally since 2005 that the West is on a path to its own destruction. And because of what's happened since the invasion of Ukraine, he's saying that has accelerated it because instead of playing nice with Russia, Europe has taken exactly the opposite approach. So he uses a term that I used a week after the invasion, and that was the sanctions that were adopted by Europe and the United States against Russia were actually financial suicide. And he talks about the same thing. So the West is destroying itself. It's going to be ugly. There could be a lot of bloodshed. I certainly see a potential civil war starting in the United States right now. So there's bad times coming.
Yeah, some of the podcasts that I listen to, and these are actually, I don't want to say they're mainstream, but they're a lot bigger than I am. They're already talking about the potential for civil war here in the US. But you touched on a point here that I really, you beat me to it because I wanted to ask. Gold has been on such a tear, it's almost a parabolic. And my mining shares and gold, I've actually gotten light and lighter. I'm still pretty heavy, but lighter in my mining shares. But it makes me nervous because it's gone so parabolic. My question is this, who knows what the short term predicts, but is this something that I guess has a lot more legs, if you would? And again, it goes to with the question is what is gold sniffing out? And you said a war, a potential war. We could even go a debt bomb, printing money, whatever have you. But really the question is, how much more steam does this have into it? And I also say this, I remember reading on your site, this was in 2008-ish, maybe in the teens, you talked about one day gold's just gonna it's we have so much many problems. One day gold's just gonna be revalued. I paraphrase, I don't remember exactly the terminology that you used, but is that where we're at, in your opinion? Are we at that moment?
Maybe.
Maybe.
Okay.
Oh gosh.
That's kind of a bullshit answer, but maybe is the most honest answer. There are two possibilities.
Tell me.
We're in either a rational gold market or we're in an irrational gold market. If we are in a
Good
rational,
answer. Go ahead.
if we're in a rational gold market, a correction would be a very, very good thing. Now, we are absolutely categorically not at a top. We haven't even seen public participation. Many, many, many gold bugs are doing the same thing you're doing. They're selling gold, they're selling silver, selling platinum, they're selling
I'm not
shares.
selling gold, I'm selling shares. But anyways, go ahead.
Well, look, I mean, selling gold at $4,000, you could not possibly sell it at a loss.
Right.
Okay. So, one of the sites that I look at every day is the McClelland Report, and he came up with an interesting observation years ago. And he said that markets tend to do a turn or an acceleration at the time of a full moon. Now, do you have any idea of when we had the last full moon?
I have no idea.
That would be yesterday.
Oh, God.
Okay, we had a major bull moon, a full moon, with the moon the closest that it comes to the Earth. So it was a big full moon. So if gold was down $50 today, that would tend to show that what McClelland said was accurate, and that would reflect a turn. And certainly with this parabolic increase in gold, silver, platinum, a correction would be a healthy thing. But in fact, as we speak, gold is $3,970.70, roughly. Okay.
Right.
We're about to touch $50 silver, and we're about to touch $4,000 gold. So my answer to, are they going to accelerate from there,
They
is
certainly
maybe,
could, maybe.
maybe,
Yeah.
maybe. It could happen, but that would indicate an irrational market. And if the market sniffs out World War III, there's no limit to how high it will go.
Yeah. I would agree, man. Yeah, it's just in one sense it's confusing because an irrational gold market, I'm waiting and I am sitting on some cash because I'm waiting for a pullback. I guess that's the maybe part. I still have a lot to take on the upside, if you would, and also and there's more to it than that, obviously, to protect my wealth and my family. But it's confusing to me. The market's confusing to me. And then number two, though, it's not confusing because of all the craziness that we have out in the world right now. I mean, it's just like, it's hard for me to see rational people, and maybe that's the issue. I'm looking at it rationally, that want a war, whether it's with Ukraine, whether it's in the Middle East, or whether that's in Venezuela now. I mean, it's just
Well,
insane to
hang
me.
on. Why do we have seven war vessels and a submarine and dozens of aircraft sitting in Puerto Rico waiting to attack Venezuela? What did Venezuela do to the United States?
That's what I want to know. It makes
I
no
don't
sense to
know.
me.
I don't know how you're supposed to tell me.
I have no idea. That is insane to me.
Well, here's the deal. Okay, understand you're talking to the one guy who has more time executing military missions. I'm talking about controlling ordnance than anybody you could ever get. Okay, I flew the Bird Dog for 700 hours in Vietnam, and I controlled airstrikes on every single flight that I ever made. And naval gunfire and mortars and artillery. I have controlled hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of strikes against very real targets, including the 16-inch guns on the battleship New Jersey. So I understand what weapons do. How are we going to use a submarine in attacking Venezuela? Okay. What the fuck is that? What kind of brain dead idiot came up and said, what we really need against those fishing boats carrying dope is a submarine, boy. All we gotta do is shove a torpedo up their ass, and boy, they'll stop the drug trade in a hurry. We are not in a rational world. We're in an utterly irrational world. I hate war because I've been in one. And I know how useless it is, but sometimes they get so stupid. I don't even know anybody smart enough to argue about why Venezuela's the enemy all of a sudden. Now you can go into Ukraine. The fact is, Ukraine had their ass kicked 2 years ago and wasn't smart enough to recognize it. Zelensky is sending $50 million a month to his personal accounts in the Middle East. Okay, they're absolutely raping the country. But from a military perspective, Russia won that war a long time ago. There is nothing that Tomahawks or F-35s or B-52s or the battleship fucking New Jersey could do to change that war. And Trump is doing the one thing that appears to have pissed Putin off. Now, I'll point something else out to you. In your opinion, has Putin's military strategy been reasonable or excessive?
I would say it's been very reasonable. In fact, he's shown a lot of restraint.
Thank you. Okay. Now then, what are his generals saying?
They want World War III. They want more
You're
aggression.
fucking A. Absolute. They're saying this is bullshit. The United States declared war on Russia in January of 2014, and Victoria Nuland funded a coup d'etat. And all these people who say Russia is the enemy, Russia invaded Ukraine. The breakaway republics of Donbass were subject to the Minsk I and the Minsk II agreement. Now, nobody who says Russia started the war has ever read
Yeah.
either of those two agreements. But both Minsk I and Minsk II absolutely provided for self-determination, which meant if Donbass wanted to go totally independent or become part of Russia, all they had to do is have a vote. How many votes have they had?
Zero. Two.
Okay, who won?
The people that wanted Donbass to be a part of Russia.
Thank
No?
you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Twice. Okay, now there is an absolute, if you believe in democracy and 95% of the people in a province want to remove themselves from an illegal government that was put in power illegally, you got to say that's okay. But clearly, Europe and the US want a conflict, and the chances of it going nuclear are literally off the charts. Now then, it's time for a trick question.
Timmy.
You have a country of 7 million people, and that country hates another country of 90 million people. So the country of 7 million wants to militarily defeat the country of 90 million people, but they just happen to be nuclear armed. How do they defeat a country of 90 million people?
Get us involved.
No. We're
Nuke them.
already involved. We're nukem. Thank you. Okay. Israel is aching to use nuclear weapons on Tehran. They want it more than anything in the world. They believe, just like the United States does, that a regime change is all it would take. Now, the United States wanted a regime change in Russia. How did that work out? They wanted a regime change in Iran. How did that work out? They wanted a regime change in Venezuela. How's that working out? The answer is you could have all the fucking regime change desire in the world. You're not going to get it. I was a pilot. I was in combat. I bombed the crap out of people who are not our enemy. If you go back to World War II, what was the effect on the German people of the bombing campaign by the UK and the US? What did it do to their desire to end the war?
Nothing. It probably banded them together to fight more.
Thank you, which is exactly what happened in Iran. Now, because of the religious situation in Iran, and I'm not picking sides here, there is a lot of internal conflict in Iran. And even the current president of Iran has said, look, I mean, the mullahs have gone too far. Okay. But when Israel made an illegal attack on a sovereign nation without warning, okay, all it did is bring the Iranian people together. Now, I took the last private airplane into Tehran before the Shah was overthrown, and I have met Iranians, and I am aware of Iran, and they happen to be very nice people, and they are very bright people. And if Israel and the United States attack Iran, which I absolutely believe they're going to shortly, it's going to result in the destruction of Iran and probably the United States.
Yeah, well, okay, yes. I want to work that out a little more, but that is so confusing to me as well because the Iranian economy, correct me if I'm wrong, it was, I mean, the people, it was on the verge of collapse, if I'm not mistaken.
No,
No?
you're mistaken.
Okay.
It was collapsed.
It was collapsed, and the
Okay,
people.
stop right there. Militarily, what country in the world has been the most effective in the last year or two?
I don't know.
Yeah,
Russia.
you do. No,
Russia.
no,
Iran? I don't know.
no. Yemen.
Yemen. Yes, right.
Okay. The poorest country in the world has defeated Israel. And you talk about collapsing economy. They're going to have to improve the economy for it to collapse. Okay.
Right. Well, and this goes back to the idea of wanting war to save the economy, right? Because I'm also trying to get Israel's, why are they doing this, right? Because it doesn't help them. Their economy, correct me if I'm wrong, is collapsed, if you would.
Yes.
what's the point? I mean, and I'm trying to think strategically here, and the only thing I come back up is, again, Netanyahu is just a bastard and in the worst sense, and a warmonger and a criminal.
No, he's not.
Okay, tell me.
Okay.
But he's trying to do this
Netanyahu.
to save himself, right? Go ahead. That's my point.
Bingo. Okay. This whole war. Okay. And there's no question now. There's so much information coming out about October 7th. It was planned.
Yeah,
Okay.
so
It
I
was
heard Colonel
deliberate.
McGregor say the same thing. He thinks it was planned. Go ahead. Go
No. He thinks it was planned. I know it was planned. Okay.
ahead.
I was watching an Israeli IDF soldier 15 minutes before we started talking about how they had been told to stand down that morning. Everything about that attack that we've been told by Israel 100% is a fucking lie. Okay, who killed 950 of the 1,200 Israelis who died? Who killed them?
Tell me.
The IDF.
The IDF.
Okay, they have a scrap metal yard with hundreds of cars in it that the IDF strafed and killed. Because they were going to prevent any hostages from going back to Gaza. Now it comes under the Hannibal Directive, and they admitted it. But the group that had the music festival didn't want it where it is. They wanted it someplace else. And the government came in and said, "No, you got to put it right here." And the music festival just happened to be right in between a kibbutz and Gaza. And Israel had the plan for the attack a year in advance, and they had been told weeks ahead of the advance by intelligent people, there is going to be an attack. And they deliberately moved the music festival right in the path of the people who were going to come out of Gaza. Okay, that was deliberate mass murder of Jews by the IDF on the orders of Benjamin Netanyahu. And the funny thing is, Benjamin Netanyahu doesn't give a damn about Gaza. He doesn't give a damn about the West Bank. He doesn't give a shit about Iran. Benjamin Netanyahu wants to stay out of prison. Okay, so what he has done is he's handed the keys to the candy store to the most rabid, murderous, lying, cheating Zionists, okay, who think mass murder and starving babies is how you conduct warfare. How much do you know about the book of Genesis?
I know a lot, but ask me a question.
Okay, God made a covenant with Abraham and his family. Okay, that's where the concept of a chosen people came from.
Yeah, I'm very familiar.
Okay, are the Jews part of the chosen people?
I would say they were in the Old Testament, but you have to, it's nuanced
Nope,
too, but go
stop
ahead.
right there. Are the Christians part of the chosen people?
Of the new covenant, yes.
Okay. Are the Muslims part of the chosen people?
I am not
This
going
was Abraham
to.
and all of his family. And from Abraham, you obviously had the Jewish people, you had Christianity, but you also had the Muslims.
Muslims,
So if you're going to get hung up saying we're the chosen people, we can do anything we want to do, we don't have to obey rules, we can lie, we can cheat, we can steal, we can murder innocent babies because we're the chosen people. Wait a minute. The Christians and Muslims are just as much a chosen people as you are. Now, what is going to destroy Israel is this psychotic, and these people are absolutely psychotic. This is not a question of a few people at the top being insane. 82% of the people in Israel think murdering old ladies carrying white flags and starving babies is just good, clean fun. So they're destroying themselves through their blindness, but they're going to get exactly what they've got coming, and they're going to get it good and hard.
I agree with you, and just about everything you said. This whole Zionism thing, it's more than this, but it was always in my mind just very bad theology if you're a Christian. Very bad theology.
But what
Number two,
question?
now it's just destructive. There's not a t worse word for it because of what it's done, this theology, if that makes
It's
sense. It's wrong.
what you would do if you were governed by Satan.
It really is, right?
Okay, it is absolutely satanic, but that Zionism have more in common with Judaism or Christianity?
I don't know. You tell me.
Okay, which is older?
Judaism. I was going
No.
to say, no, Christianity.
Christian Zionists are far older than Jewish Zionists. Okay, Jewish Zionism only started around 1890 with
Okay.
Herzl,
Right.
okay,
Okay. Got it. I got you.
who
I'm
is
following
an
you.
atheist, okay, but Christian Zionist goes back 300 or 400, 3 or 4 centuries, okay. Christian Zionism is far bigger than Jewish Zionism. Now, the Jews would like to have you believe that Zionism is associated with Judaism all by itself. It's bullshit. There are far more evangelical Christians in the United States who think that bombing Muslims is just fucking great,
Yeah,
okay?
it's ter and it's not biblical. And it's not, again, I'll go back to it's terrible theology, and terrible's not saying it strong enough. It's
Well, let
destructive.
me ask you a question. How much do you know about the Scofield Bible?
Enough.
Okay, there was a Jewish committee at Yale in 1965
I didn't know this. Go ahead.
that revised the Scofield Bible. And if you pick up Scofield Bible, everything that Scofield wrote is in the center, and all the extras were put in by this Jewish committee at Yale in 1965. And the evangelical Christians swear by the Scofield Bible.
Right.
There's one problem.
What's
Scofield died in 1920.
that?
So when they're
Right?
talking about the Scofield Bible, they need to come up with another name for it because it has nothing to do with Scofield because he was long since dead.
Yeah,
Okay.
right. Right. So, I guess I do have some optimism in all of this. I think the narrative to Zionism among evangelicals, and I don't consider I'm a Christian. I don't consider myself an evangelical Christian. I would say I'm much more Orthodox and Catholic, but that's all for another conversation. But I see my optimism. I see the narrative changing. I mean, it's hard to see, and it is a genocide. It has been a genocide. I've seen it. I'm not going to be gaslighted. It's hard to, you can't see that and say,
No, you can't unsee
yeah, you
that.
can't unsee that and say that's not a genocide. And whether you're a Christian or whatever your denomination is, that is wrong. And my optimism comes just in this small sliver, if you would, is, I believe that's changing or starting to change. I know Israel's lost the narrative, or Christian Zionism is losing the narrative here in the US. I don't know about France or Europe.
They're losing it in the world.
Yeah.
Okay, the amazing thing is, and I am not anti-Jewish at all,
Neither
okay,
am
any
I.
more than any other
For all
religion.
people.
However, what they've done is so obvious now, you have to be blind or stupid to not recognize it as a genocide. Now, have you seen what Larry Ellison is doing lately?
Yeah, I bought TikTok.
And what else?
Tell me.
CNN.
CNN, I knew that.
And what else?
CBS, right?
And what else?
More media companies. That's my guess.
Paramount.
Paramount. Yep, I knew that.
Okay. What is the chance of free speech on CNN or CBS or TikTok or Paramount in the future?
Zero. Or is it going to be what they want you to say?
Bingo. Have you ever read the FBI report on the dancing Israelis?
No.
I'm a speed reader and I bore easily.
Okay.
So somebody sent me a link to it and I went through the whole damn thing. And there was a really interesting comment in there. And here, I'll give you the background. There were a number of Israelis who had worked for Urban Moving Systems, the company in New Jersey, the moving company that was front for the Mossad. And they were in a van and they had money and plane tickets literally stuffed in their socks. And there were traces of explosives in the van and they were arrested by the FBI. And they were held in custody for about 6 weeks and then they were sent back to Israel. These are the same guys who took pictures the day before 9/11 from the spot because they wanted to make sure they could see the World Trade Center. So at the very least, they were aware that was gonna attack was going to take place. And at the very most, they were part of the attack. Everybody's got their own opinion. But when the FBI wrote about this in the local papers, someone who had worked for Urban Moving Systems contacted the FBI and they said, I've got some information that you guys probably need to know. And he was a goy, okay, he was non-Jewish, but he had worked there and he quit because they scared the hell out of him. They were so anti-American. And he had been told, and it's in the FBI report, I didn't make this up, that they were going to take control of our media and they were going to use it to destroy us in 20 years. Now,
And here
what
we
is
are,
the.
25 years later.
Yeah, they're running, they're in overtime.
Go ahead.
But certainly you could see it with Larry Ellison. He's not even making any bones about it, okay? He's a confirmed Zionist, Zionism, uber alles, and he's going to try to change the narrative. But the Steve Jobs said the really most wonderful thing about the internet is that it gives everybody a voice. And the biggest flaw to the internet
It gives
is
everybody
it
voice.
gives everybody a voice. But Larry Ellison, who is either the richest or second richest person in the world, absolutely intends to try to control the narrative, but he can't. And the genocide has been going on for 80 years. This is not a new genocide. It's just a very visible genocide now. And anybody who talks about that attack and doesn't use the word genocide is lying through their teeth.
I would agree. I would agree. Talk to me, go back, pivot more to Russia and Ukraine here. That what's going to happen to Ukraine? Because that has just been, in my understanding, has just been mowed over now. And
Well, you want the good news or the bad news?
give me the good news first.
Well, the good news is that Ukraine is owned by BlackRock and the Jewish control large foundations.
Okay, what's the bad news?
It's a shithole.
Yeah,
They
it's got mowed down.
it's been totally destroyed. And the amazing thing is, and I absolutely concurred with you. I was watching what Putin did, and frankly, I was disappointed because if I was running that war, I'd be a hell of a lot more aggressive than he is. And then somebody sent me an article. What is his objective in the war?
Security potentially,
Nope. Nope.
making a greater Russia.
Nope.
Tell me.
He wants to kill as many of those Nazis as he can.
Yeah, got it.
And he has killed 1.7 million who have either been killed or deserted. We don't know how many have deserted. It is a staggering number, and it's probably 15 times the number killed of Russians. But I realized it made a lot of sense. Now, the Russians never give a shit about taking terrain. In the United States Armed Forces, you always think about taking terrain. The Russians didn't care about taking terrain. They're just going to kill as many of those Nazis as they can. And they have totally, utterly devastated the rest of Ukraine since then. So BlackRock and Larry Fink and all those people have bought a desert that they help create.
The war go in buy blood, buy when there's blood in the streets, and buy all those assets. That's what they're doing.
No, they actually paid a pretty heavy price. Okay, here's what's crazy. They believe the stupidity from Kellogg and Trump and Biden and all those blithering idiots in Washington. They believed that Ukraine was going to win the war. And there isn't a chance in hell that Ukraine was going to win the war. Ukraine
Right.
lost the war the first 2 weeks of the war. Okay.
Yeah.
There was a peace conference in Istanbul, and Ukraine initialed, they didn't sign, but they initialed an agreement that said, okay, we're going to abide by the Minsk II agreement. And Boris Johnson goes over at the behest of Biden and said, no, you could steal a lot more money. Okay, we'll let you do that. We'll keep doing it. And Trump is stupid enough that he doesn't see the downside of World War III, but he sees the upside of convincing Europe to spend hundreds of billions of dollars on new munitions from the United States. But what is the fatal flaw to that theory?
Okay, well, it's war. The fatal flaw is we're going to escalate
No,
everything. We're
no,
going.
no.
What's
What's
that?
Europe going to pay for all the weapons with?
They don't have any money. Yeah.
They haven't got any money. They're bankrupt. Okay, so you've got a bunch of third graders who broke into their dad's booze cabinet, and they're all drunk,
Right.
okay? And they're talking about what they're going to do with to the teacher when they go to school. Hey, wait a minute, kid. You need to stop hitting the bottle.
Yeah.
But we're dealing with insane people with insane ideas, and that's not going to work out well.
No, it's not. There's an interesting thing in all of this, and tell me what your opinion on this. Gold is going from the West to the East. Correct me if I'm wrong, because I mean, China seems to be buying a ton of gold. I don't know how much gold Russia has, but I'm sure there are buyers or have been buyers as well. I don't see Europe having any gold. So, and I'd be shocked if the US, if Fort Knox, if there was any gold in Fort Knox. That was supposed to be audited 9 months ago. Correct me if I'm wrong.
I think somebody looked at the balance sheet. I think somebody walked in and said, "Okay, we want to see your books." And they opened the books, and instead of this, 28 billion tons of gold, oh shit, we got a problem, Houston. The West doesn't understand gold, but strange enough, from an official point of view, Germany is only second to the United States in terms of gold reserves. But we've got an economic situation that could be cured in 2 or 3 years, and all it would take is going back to gold and silver as currency. And strange enough, I mean, I grew up with silver dollars in my pocket, and you could reach in your pocket and you could feel that silver dollar, and you knew it was something real. What do you think pennies were made of back then? They were made of copper.
Copper. Yeah.
Okay. What are they made up of now?
It's not copper, it's a lot of different metals together.
Nope. No.
What is it?
Zinc. Zinc.
Zinc. Got it.
Copper plated zinc. Now, if
There
you
you
look
go.
at quarters and dimes and 5 cent pieces, and well, actually, 5 cent piece has some nickel in it. They can't afford to make the 5 cent piece anymore.
Yeah.
But a quarter, half dollars, and dollars now are all clad coins. I mean, if we would get away from fake money, which is what fiat money is, and governments don't want to do that because they want an unlimited ability to spend because they get power by spending money. Well, it's failed in the United States, it's failed in Canada, it's failed in the UK, it's failed in France, it's failed in Germany. The United States, 85% of Americans cannot afford the average house. I mean, what have we done to our young people? Okay. In France, they have destroyed the middle class, and now the UK is trying to do exactly the same thing. And the wonderful thing about Germany is they've destroyed their whole economy just by giving the United States permission to blow up Nord Stream.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So what? I guess, how does this, what to expect? Obviously, I expectation of war in the next, whether that's now or by the end of the year. What are your expectations here, shorter term, or do you have any expectations?
Okay, I'm going to tell you something that you just don't know that you know. Let's pretend that as you got two or three squadrons of F-35s and you have 20 or 25 refueling aircraft and you've got, say, 1,000 or 2,000 or 3,000 troops and you've got them sitting in Qatar. What is your biggest problem?
That they're sitting in Qatar.
That's part of it. That's half of it.
They're surrounded by a bunch of people that don't want them there.
No.
What's that? You got to use
It
them. It
costs
costs a
a
lot of money.
lot of money.
Good
It's
answer.
either use it or lose it. Now, what you absolutely cannot afford to do is to put an entire armada into an airport in Qatar and have them sit. Now, I believe the decision has already been made. I believe the decision has already been made in Venezuela. You got all those ships. You have 4,500 Marines. You got a couple of thousand squids, okay? You got aircraft sitting in Puerto Rico. You got a refueling aircraft. Now, the military, okay, they love war for a really simple reason. If your CO gets killed,
You get promoted.
you get promoted. You don't have to be competent. During peacetime, you have to be competent. During wartime, nobody gives a shit.
It's very gloomy here.
Well, here's a nice thing. Venezuela's on a hair trigger. Qatar's on a hair trigger. And all it's going to take is one tomahawk in Ukraine, and it'll be on a hair trigger. We're not going to have to wait for another year, two or three, to see if a Martin Armstrong's prediction is going to come true or not. We're going to know really, really quickly.
If it's going to happen,
Now, when it's going to
when
happen.
it's going to happen.
Do you know what the difference is between being involved and being committed?
Tell me.
It's like the difference between ham and eggs.
Okay.
Now, the chicken, she's involved, but the pig, he's committed.
Right? That's right. Right.
I've seen some dumb things in my life, but both Venezuela and Iran are magnificent. It solves the issue of do you go out with a whimper or a bang?
And I can't make, it goes back to our original point. I just can't make any sense about it, other than just power, staying in power and a distraction for what's going on in the economy, the global economy, really.
That would be so. Okay. It really is that simple, Andy.
Well, I'm afraid you're going to be right. Well, Bob, we've gone on. I got to run, but thank you. Thank you for coming on. Thank you for talking to me. Thank you for being a friend. And it's interesting. My conversations with you, I really look forward to them. But I want to have them. But it's like I don't know if I look forward to them, if that makes sense, because they're scary.
Well,
But it's also, go
it's one of those
ahead.
good news, bad news stories.
Yeah.
The good
No.
news is I'm old. The
I'm
bad news is you're not.
young, exactly. Yeah,
You have
what a mess.
something to worry about. I don't have anything to worry about.
Right. Well, I hope you do. I hope to have, I say this too genuinely, I hope to have these conversations with you for years, for the next several years. And I hope that the world's in one piece that we can have those conversations.
Strange enough, one or two things will happen. Either the rational people will take over, and that's what I'm hoping, or the irrational people will conquer. And all of this was predicted in the fourth turning.
Yeah.
And in the last of that book, he said, you can go either way.
Yeah. Interesting. All right. Well, we'll end on that. I want to have you on again soon in the next week or so. And you're always so gracious to me. I just send you an email and you come on. So I'm very grateful for that.
I'm Irish. You can't shut me up.
Well, listen, I enjoy listening. All right. Thank you, my
Okay, my
friend.
friend.
Good to see
Good
you.
deal.
Yep.
Thanks.